You gotta be prepared. Be prepared for the good vibes. It's just a different energy in here today. Carmen's crew is back for another episode. Episode 7. You seeing smiles, you seeing laughter, you seeing just good energy from all of us right now. Myself, David Lighty, Adam Gardy, Aaron Kraft, Jared Sullinger. We got a new little Buckeyes team these last couple of weeks, my guys. I mean, since Jake has taken over, the Buckeyes are 4-1. I will go ahead and say it because I know y'all gonna say it. I was hopping off the train. I was on my way out. I didn't expect us to win a couple of those games, but y'all proved me wrong. So I'm gonna go ahead and let y'all speak on, what has been going on these last 2 weeks since Jake has taken over, and just talk about. The first question I would say is, what's been the piece or pieces or key piece that's changed this Buckeyes team? It could be a coach, a player, or an old player like Kraft going back and talking to guys, an AD, maybe, making a decision, things like that. Somebody throw that out there to begin with and tell me what's gotten into these Buckeyes.
Honestly, I just it seems like everyone's just playing lighter. There's a freedom in the air, and I think that stems from, a coaching change, getting someone different in there, a new vibe, a different perspective, a different voice that kind of has that last say. But practices are lighter, and I think the games are that way too. I know. I think I never. The guys were always. They seemed close, but just being having gone to a couple games over these last five, man, it just looks like they're having fun, and they haven't seemed like they've had fun a lot. Obviously, this year because we haven't had a lot to be excited about, but they're playing free, they're playing open, and guys are just kind of letting it go. And whether that's because it's a voice, or maybe they're trying to prep for and give themselves the best opportunity to potentially go somewhere else or for another, a transfer spot. Like NBA free agency. I don't know what it is, but they are playing freer, and that's showing in the games.
Honestly, I think you got to give credit to, Jake Diebler, Jack Owens, Mike Nettie, Brandon Bailey, T. Dowse, Robbie, Nick Kellogg, strength and conditioning coach Q, of course Eaglehoff, because he's our guy, but you got to give them those
My
guys credit.
guy.
Exactly. But you got to give those guys credit just because, at the end of the day, they could have looked at it in two different ways where they can showcase how they care about the kids, or they can be like, you know what, let's go find a new job. And I
I
think
agree.
that
I
they sh
agree.
they're showcasing that they really care about these kids, and they're doing a great job of rallying them together. So you got to give the coaching staff credit, man, for coming into a really weird, situation, especially after, Holman getting fired, and then still be able to turn around what ultimately we thought was a lost season. So, I mean, there's still a chance that we can make something happen. But like I said, you got to give all those guys credit, man. They've done a great job of just settling this team in and understanding the situation that's around them.
I think the thing that's maybe most impressive about that, because you're absolutely right, Jared, like the fact that the coaching staff has been able to keep this thing intact and keep these guys pointed in the same direction, that's huge. I think that's as big of a reason why they're playing better as anything, is that they've found a way to reach these guys and keep them together when it would be really easy to splinter. And I feel like that is why they just look better on both ends of the court. Like Kraft, like you said, they're playing more freely. And I wondered if that's just, I haven't been in those huddles and those meetings like you guys have, so I wonder if that's just like my uneducated view from the outside of why a team looks different. But that's the thing I keep coming back to. They just seem like they're not playing with a weight on their shoulders. Like when they have a lead, where I'm not sitting there thinking, well, this isn't
Uh-oh,
going to
yeah.
last.
Uh-oh,
Like
yeah.
you can feel that when this team, the last two games at halftime, I've started writing my game story in a tone of Ohio State wins. And in the past, I've not been able to do that for a while, to where it's like you're sitting there at halftime, you're saying, I mean, I guess they could lose, but I think it's way more likely than not they're going to win this game. And I can start writing my story that way. That doesn't really happen in a while. And I think that's a testament to the fact these guys seem connected in a different way and they're playing with a much different, like, just vibe about them right now.
Oh man, I'm going to touch on what Sully said. I don't think I'm steering more in that direction of just the coaching staff, you know, having so much, you know, life that they basically breathe back into the guys and allowing them to be free and, like you say, play at another level. Because things, even after the win versus Purdue, things could have went another way. You know, we go on a roll, we lose to Minnesota. We're like, I was in that uh-oh moment, like, not again. Don't do this to me again. Are we, you know, we headed back down that path. Like, you can't give us a Purdue win. Then we lose to Minnesota by 10.
Right,
I think that
right.
Michigan State game was a real statement. You know, that's an old school Big Ten win right there. It mm-hmm. was 60-57. You know, haven't won in Michigan State since Willie B hit the game winner with my guy Kraft and Sully. So, I mean, just for everybody to step up and play and or actually battle, didn't even play that game. So for everybody, mm-hmm. especially Dev, I'll shout out my guy Dev Royal. I told you at the beginning of the season he was going to be a key piece. He's showing himself right now, and I like that.
Just tickle Mark.
I said it last I mean, year.
But I think that game was the real staple game that let everyone know that, all right, you know, let's enjoy this thing. Let's be together. Let's, you know, have fun. And I think we've seen a completely different Buckeye team, you know, since they got that win. So I give the game ball to the coaching staff and to the players as well for, you know, maybe even if it's what Kraft said, you know, trying to audition for other schools or, you know, putting themselves out there. But they're definitely showing a different bounce in the game when they're out there playing. And, I mean, really, that's – as a former Buckeye, that's all I can ask. Like, just show me. You know, don't talk. Just show me. Show me some life. Show me some spirit. Show me some, you know, urgency. I think that's been the word. Some consistency.
I think it's interesting you talked about Dev, bro. I think it's so interesting you talked about Dev because on the season he averages 4 points. But in the last five games, he's averaging 8.2 and 2.4 rebounds. And that comes with more minutes, more production. You know, you see what he can do in his minutes.
Too.
He's taking his shots that we saw him take at Pickerington Central. And I think also you got to understand that a lot of freshmen, it comes in, it goes too fast. And we see it all the time. Like, me and Kraft came That's in, true. And we had a couple freshmen on our team where the game just was just too fast for them. And me and Kraft picked up on it right away. Mm-hmm. And by the time we got to, like, January, February, those same guys that starting to pick it up, you start seeing their talent blossom. And I think that's what we're seeing with Dev. Mm-hmm. Is now that the game slowed down, now he's used to the physicality of the Big Ten. Now he understands, like, what he has to do to, you know, where his spots is at. He's not overthinking no more. He gets the ball. He's decisive. I just think it takes time for a lot of freshmen to be who they are as far as what we recruited. So, you know, shout out to Dev for, you know, taking advantage of his minutes. But, I mean, you look at the whole team, Dale Bonner, you know, Felix has been playing some pretty good basketball. Zed looks like he's rejuvenated. So I'm just happy. Happy that we're playing hard. Yeah, I'm just happy we're playing hard, and I'm happy that we're attacking people. Before it felt like we was getting attacked. Now we're attacking people.
Yeah, you know, I think another thing Devin does really well is he attacks the offensive glass. And he might not get it every time, but he's getting some. But he's just putting pressure there.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a great intangible thing to see a guy like that doing, because that's something you can't really teach. And he's going every time. He's really attacking that offensive glass. And that's like creating a lot of things for us. And I also think we need to shout out Dale. I mean, he's been a completely different player the last, you know, whatever, 4 or 5 games than he was. All the games before. He's aggressive. He's playing confidently. Obviously hit the game winner, but just his demeanor, his pace, like, this is kind of what we were expecting out of him kind of throughout all year. And he's showing us right now that he's this perfect guy that he obviously came in when Bruce couldn't play, was super solid. And then it's just stayed aggressive. And I think a lot of guys were talking about him shooting the ball well, which he can do, but he's just doing a great job attacking the rim, playing really hard on defense, making it difficult on guards and creating turnovers. And I think that's been a really big key for us and something that I'm excited to see, you know, as a guard, That was excited about seeing Dale when the season started, but he's really kind of come into his own and been great for us.
It's like you're starting to see guys play the roles that I think a lot of us envisioned at the beginning of the season. I mean, this is kind of who we thought Dale might be. And, you know, we knew that maybe Devin would have some bumps early on, but like when this team was really 12-1 or whatever it was, and they were, when things were rolling, you said, well, what reason is there to think they're going to have a better Big Ten than last year? And it was, well, you know, we haven't really seen a whole lot from Devin yet. And, you know, Dale hasn't done a whole lot. And Scotty's production had dipped. And, you know, you could say these guys realistically have enough of a track record or enough ability that they're going to play better ball by the time we get to February and March. And it wasn't really happening there for a little while. And now you are seeing these guys playing with that confidence. And that's just a huge boost. I mean, you guys know it. When you're going through the league a second time and you're playing – you know, your 17th Big Ten game, and these coaches know what you're going to do. When suddenly Devin Royal is getting you 8 a night, and he was getting 2 a couple weeks ago, like, that makes you a different scout. And that gives teams something they haven't seen. Mm-hmm. It gives you a different wrinkle. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been really big for this team to just look like the team we kind of thought they might be when the season started.
I mean, guys are getting the opportunity, and they're stepping up. I mean, that's all you can ask for from your team. You know, when your name is called, you come to the plate and you do your job, basically. I mean, that's what it is in college basketball. You do your job. So, I mean, for Dev, like you say, the last couple of games playing so well, we just want to see the continuity of it as, you know, the season goes on. We had a great win versus the team up north. I think this was the highest win of the season, 23 points versus the team up north.
It was their biggest win against Michigan since 2005.
So, 2005, and
second biggest win since like 1968, I think.
They had good teams though. Relax, though. They had good.
They did have a couple pros.
a lot of them. So we're happy about that. And shout out to the fans, 16,000 plus in the shot. This is what we expect. This is what. Yeah. Sorry, it's all I know is, you know, sellouts and things like that. So we need more of that vibe, but. I will say sorry on behalf of the Buckeyes that we didn't, you know, give you guys that vibe to come support, I guess. Well, but
I think it shows how hungry the fan base is for good basketball. You know, like they want to support it. They want to be there. They want to fill the gym. They want the basketball team to do well, but it's not a guarantee. You know, you got to show them, you got to give them something that's exciting to watch. And they're doing that right now. So, the fan base is hungry, and it's good to see. It was great to be in the arena over the weekend and just kind of see everyone there and see them get into the game. And I have no idea how we lost to Michigan the first time. It was not great, but it was just great to be in that environment with that energy, and hopefully we can keep riding it.
But I will say, were the fans there for UCraft, or was it for the 99 team? Which one was it? Or was
that
it
was the Purdue college? Game?
That was the Purdue game.
The Purdue game. Oh, that was you doing that one. What was the one for? No, that was Mike Redd. My fault. Mike Redd and Howard. He was just at the game. All right, yeah, that's hands. My fault. Okay, that's my fault.
Yeah, we got you.
I'm tripping with that one.
We'll text DT to get him from you tomorrow.
Yeah, actually, exactly. We still be doing that right now, though. Don't tell him. We got a trip at 7 o'clock, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning right now. So I'll see him in 5 hours.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely.
But we will shout out the seniors. That was the team up north game. The seniors, Mr. Zed Key, no more raising the roof in the shot. We're gonna send him off one last time. Mr. Jamison Battle. We got our. Are they honorary Buckeyes? I mean, this is just the way of college basketball. Now we just literally talked about it. You know, even though guys have, you know, been around what, 9 months, they're still Buckeyes. They're in the family. So Jamison,
once you put that uniform on, you family.
And Owen was there for 2 years though. But you're right. Once you put that block
on, are you family, man?
It's family.
You family, no matter where you come from. I mean, look, we took on Andrew Dockage, and he came from the school up north. So. He's been part of the family. So I mean, we just it's just what we do, man. It's just once you come into our fold, man, you're never gonna leave it. I mean, it's up to you. Whoever you claim out there, that's fine. But you ain't never gonna leave our fold once you're family.
I had a thought watching senior day because I've you guys, I think, have played in some of them, and I feel like I've covered at least three Ohio State games at Michigan State on senior day. And obviously we know that, you know, they kiss the court, and it's a special thing there. And it got me thinking, like, is there something Ohio State could do or should do that would, like, be the start of a tradition? Okay.
I kissed it, but that's a good one.
My game was way too close. Errors came down to the last possession, so I mean, there was no way to.
Hey, you didn't get the standing off. So
nope, none of that. We had to friggin' get a stop,
battle it out. That's a good one, though. Yeah. We should ask some guys to start that. I like that, Adam. We really need to. That would be a good one. I don't know. Do a OH to the fans or something? Does everybody walk off? That's something we can think of. But
yeah, that's a tough one. I wouldn't know, though. Only y'all know that emotional high behind senior day. So I can only imagine what y'all go through. Like, I remember Lighty, when you walked out, like, you couldn't stop smiling, but at the same time, like, you had this aura about you when you realized, like, man, this is it. This is the last time I'm doing
it. Yeah, it's it. Yeah, it's it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so we got to
still face, like,
yeah. Wow. So we got to find something that brings the seniors, you know, something special. I wouldn't know what that would be. Kiss the court, maybe do it after the game, like Michigan State. But then again, if you lose, that's it's the worst senior night ever. So.
You think we got eligibility left? You know, they got guys with 8-9 years playing now. We can go back. You know, Sully,
we can go play a different sport.
We're going to have to switch a sport.
I can walk on, can I? No?
You're going to have to switch a sport. You better go.
You might be able to make it, Dave.
Oh, no. My body too beat up for that. Heck no. Football days is definitely done. Definitely over. But
you can be a kicker.
All right. Finish the season off, man. We got Rutgers, which, like I said, I think we're going to get this W. Buckeyes are going to have 19 wins, and we're going to keep rolling this into the Big Ten tournament. Up in Minnesota this year, which is a first for me. I think the first for Big Ten as well. This is something new. Just got to go with the flow. Can't do nothing about it. But we're currently number 10 in the rankings. Stuff will change after the Rutgers game with everybody playing their last game. But I like where we're at right now and how we're playing. It's going to be all about matchups. I think the team is hungry to prove more. So I think I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there that at least we're going to make it to the semifinals. After that, we're going to see. We're going to see. We're going to see what happens after that.
I'm going to raise you
Big
one,
Ten
Dave.
Tournament thoughts.
I'm what you got? You if we make it to the semifinals, we're going to the finals? NCAA tournament. If we go to the semifinals, we're going to the NCAA tournament.
I like that. That was the next question.
We got some quality wins. We beat Alabama. Or am I wrong on that one? What SEC team we win? We beat Alabama.
No, we did.
That's a great win.
We lost to Texas A&M. That's the only loss.
We lost. That was it was a close game, so they're gonna view that.
Close game.
With Texas A&M. Yeah. We got Purdue. We got Michigan State. We got a couple solid wins, and if we can turn this Big Ten tournament into something, I think we got a chance, guys. I really do. I'm hopping back on that train. I got my seatbelt fastened.
If they finish like they did last year, yeah. I'm with you. Well, I'd say Adam. Adam probably got the numbers for us. Yeah, we're gonna ask that next.
I mean, first thing, we have to win at Rutgers. You know, I think that's like a
pre. It's going to happen, Kraft. No, it's happening.
We haven't won. We've never won there. It's hard to play there. I agree with you. You know, I think from a defensive perspective, we're playing well, and that's how they like to play that style. But we're finding a way to get out and transition and move, get the pace back up a little bit. So I like our opportunity, but it's definitely not a gimme win. Obviously, no, we've still true. Only run two games on the road in the Big Ten in 2 years. So it's
we
definitely
got the monkey
hurdle,
off our
think,
back now. We good. We beat it.
I hear you. I'm
we
with you.
Back.
But I'm saying we win that.
Beat Michigan or the school up north. My bad, y'all. Oh, wait.
Michigan was so bad. They were so bad. Rutgers plays better at home. Rutgers beat Wisconsin by 20 at home. You know, it's just like they're a different team. So I think we can get the win, but it's not a guarantee. the worst thing that we could possibly do is go into this game thinking it's going to be, you know, light work, and then thinking about, all right, what do we have to do in the NCAA, in the Big Ten tournament to make the NCAA tournament? Like, I just want to see our guys focus in one game. We have all week off to practice, to get healthy and stay in a groove, which could be challenging too, not having to play in 6 days. So I think there's a hurdle that we need to pass before we can start thinking anywhere beyond, because without the first one, then everything goes to crap. So that's just where I'm at right now.
This is true. I mean, that's all real. So I can't knock that. You're right.
So as far as trying to actually build a resume that could get them on the bubble, like what they can still do here, because their net ranking is actually better than two teams that played in the first four last year. Like Ohio State, as of our recording this, they're 59th in the net. And last year, Arizona State was 66 and Pitt was 67. But they both made the tournament. But they made the tournament.
So there's a chance.
Well, they made the tournament because they had more quality wins.
Okay.
They both had, I think, they each had six wins in the Nets quad system. They each had six quad one wins. Ohio State only has three right now. And so I've had people say, well, you know, they should try to get into the Big Ten tournament on that Wednesday and, like, beat Michigan, and then that adds another win to your total, and you get to 21, 22 wins maybe. But that isn't really going to help Ohio State at this point.
That is not, not beat Michigan.
So if they win on Thursday, that's probably a quad two game, and then Friday would be a quad one game. So if this team's still playing on Saturday, you're talking about it adding two more games that would help its resume. And then if they win on that Saturday, if we're, and again, we're, at this point, we're talking about what, a 6-7 game win streak.
Yeah, like,
I mean, unheard of. It's kind of crazy.
9 of 10 kind of
stuff. Yeah. So I mean, but if we're trying to figure out like what this looks like, they need to at least be playing on that Saturday. And if they were to win on that Saturday, you're talking about adding two more quad one wins to a resume. You'd have this long winning streak going. That might be enough. The bubble is not good. The bubble never is good. But they're playing themselves into a position where it's a conversation. And that's what I think is, you know, that's there's something to that, because 2.5 weeks ago, we weren't talking about this.
Like, not at all. It was over.
So
it's getting ready for next year.
I think the hardest thing when you look at it is that this team had two 18-point leads that in games that it lost. And I think if you flip those, because you can say, okay, a close game, whatever, you win those, you lose those, but you're up 18 at Penn State, you're up 18 at home to Indiana. You win those two games, and this team, instead of being 18-12 going to Rutgers, it's 20-10. And instead of being 8-11 in the Big Ten, it's 10-9. And everything is different.
Yeah.
So it really feels like it comes down to that margin to me.
Yeah. Hey, it sounds great though, but then the play-in games are in Dayton still, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's a good story. NCAA. Let's you know.
They want people to
make that magic happen. Make that magic happen. You know, it's about the money. We're not going to talk about that.
Last time we played in Dayton, it was 06.
Not about.
No, it was y'all.
That's not true. Yeah, we played there. Ooh,
but then we played.
They lost to Siena first round.
Was it 08?
We don't want to talk about that. I didn't play, but yeah.
In Dayton, I'm saying
before that, won twice there.
Y'all played in. Where did you play here against Dayton at?
My junior year, we played in Dayton.
Oh, that was
I may or may not. I may or may not have hit a shot at the end of one of those games.
I didn't know that was in Dayton.
Yes, it was. Dang.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I didn't care. I thought it was okay. We lost to Siena double overtime. We didn't.
Wow. I remember that game.
All right. Let's get back on. Let's go back to the good vibes. Good vibes again. Talk about the Big Ten tournament. I have three Big Ten tournament championships. Yes. What is your favorite moment of the Big Ten tournament? I'll let Sully smiling so much. I'll let Adam go first because he's seen most of them.
I know yours, Dave.
Oh, for sure you got to know mine. Everybody should know mine. Go ahead, Adam.
The Evan's shot against Michigan.
Okay, go ahead.
Iconic. Yeah, go ahead. I mean, that was iconic. And I remember, like,
don't forget that pass.
everything about how that went down. And that, but I'll also say, and this is some recency bias, but back in 2021, when they were playing through the COVID bubble, and that was there were a couple of fans, but they were at Lucas Oil, and like, you know, they end up losing to Illinois in overtime, but like that team put together a run that nobody really saw coming. Ooh, and yeah. Like Dwayne got hot. D-Wash, EJ was hot.
D-Wash was like, going crazy. Yeah.
And that was really cool to see. And so I really enjoyed that experience. That was obviously the high water mark for where that season went, but that was unique. And I'll always kind of keep that one.
Mm.
You know, that's funny you say that. I feel like that's the most unique one though, because it's hard when you're a basketball player. You're so used to having fans in the arena, you know, and then you play in the Big Ten tournament, and there's not as many fans. Like it's hard for you to navigate through that as a basketball player sometimes. That's a good one. That's a great one. But go ahead, Kraft. My bad.
Yeah, no, you're good. I have two. I think first one, freshman year, you know, we come in, well, obviously we're pretty good. But that was like the first postseason basketball I played in college. So it just had this different vibe about it. And Northwestern took us into overtime and it just showed how fleeting postseason basketball can be. Mm. And I just remember that finding a way to win that game and then just like exhaling afterward and this really could have ended if the ball bounces, you know, the wrong way a couple of times throughout that game. So that was just my first just experience with one and done kind of experience in college, and I think it was awesome. And then obviously we went on to win that year. My second one, you know, our junior year we had some ups and downs, but towards the end we just started playing really well. The Big Ten tournament was in Chicago. So you're playing in, you know, the arena with all the championship banners in the rafters. So it just felt special. We ended up winning it that year.
Nostalgic.
So that was just a lot of fun. You know, I think, we played really well. I don't even remember who we played in the first round, but beat Michigan State and then beat Wisconsin in the final. And, that was a good year.
I got two guys. I got, and they're both spectating. In 06, I went to this one. It was Conseco Fieldhouse. I was watching my older brother, JJ, and I remember them playing against Bracey Wright and Marco Killingsworth against Indiana. What was his name? Greg Bronner from Iowa? And what's the Adam Haluska, I think, the shooter from Iowa.
Haluska.
Yeah, man, it was one of the best games I've seen. That one, and then Kraft's MVP year at the tournament. I was hurt. Boston sent me out there to do a little scouting and kind of just to get out of Boston. And I remember Kraft against Michigan State, the same pick and roll, same snake, same little up and under layup. Mm. He was just giving them the blues. And then turn around. Then you turn around the next game, and then LaQuinn Ross comes off the bench against Wisconsin and just goes nuts. And I was like, man, this team is nice. And that was the same year they went to the Elite Eight. That year, lost to Wichita State. Sorry, crap. But those two was probably my favorite because in 06, I was a fan of Ohio State. In 2013, I was part of the family at Ohio State. So I got to see two perspectives, and I was locked in two different ways. So those were my two favorites. As far as playing, of course, my freshman year. That was great. Who we play first game? Northwestern. They take us to overtime. We play a physical Stu Douglas and Zach Novak and Jordan Morgan and all Evan Smockridge, all of them.
Morgan, yeah.
We play all of them. That was a physical game. I remember Teddy Valentine getting into it with all of us. And then the championship, we ended up playing Taylor Battle and them. And that was – we played them three times that year, and they was tough matches. But, man, it was just that postseason basketball at the Big Ten tournament, it's a grind. People don't understand that. It's a real grind.
Yeah.
That's perfect. So I'll go with mine. Oh, go ahead, Kraft. Go ahead.
I will say one of my favorite off the court memories was that first year we were at Indianapolis and Vinny had called in the masseuse to come in.
And oh, it was my God. Like, kill that was,
yeah, oh, my Dave God. Was
he said, go to the bone. He was like, go all, to the bone.
All I could hear was Dave screaming from outside this door. And I'm like, what is happening? And this guy would find the pressure point and wait until like you screamed loud enough. I was like, dang, this is wild. Like,
yeah, that
I do
was
remember
his,
that. That was great.
That was his moment. He liked that. Like, I don't know what was going on, man. That was crazy.
Sorry.
I forgot about that one though, Kraft. You're right. But me, I'm going to go the whole 2010 tournament. This is perfect. We're talking about postseason. That thing was crazy. First game, ET hit the shot versus the team up north, so that's already spectacular. The second game, we going to double overtime versus Illinois. Mm-hmm. I played probably 49 of the 50 minutes after playing 40 versus Michigan, so I'm already dead. Then the last game we played Minnesota, we went on like 220-0 runs and end up winning the tournament. So, I mean, that's the beauty of March. So, you know, we're in that time. We're getting those good vibes with the Buckeyes right now. So 2010, I think that was the one that stood out for me the most. That was just amazing, man. It's lovely, man, to host that trophy after the end and just relax after all the work you done put in. So shout out to my guys, man. We went to a lot of wars together, a lot of battles together. But man. All right. We talking about a lot of historic stuff, old things going on. We're going to shout out Caitlin Clark for breaking the all-time record, men's and women's, for points. So we're going to give her a round of applause, even though we will say they cheated our Buckeyes in that last game.
Man. But
we're also going to shout out our Lady Buckeyes for winning the 2024 Big Ten Championship. Raise the roof one time.
The game didn't matter. The game didn't
matter. It didn't matter. It really didn't matter at all. But we want them to end up in Cleveland in that Final Four. So all those Buckeyes that showed up last Sunday, we need y'all to go support them and keep that going, really. But talking about Caitlin Clark, talking about crazy stuff going on, we're going to get on the topic of court storming. You know, she had an incident in the Schottenstein Arena. We saw it. Then lately it was, Duke versus Wake Forest. They had an incident. What are you guys' thoughts on court storming? You know, we have a little Buckeye story. I only got stormed one time versus Wisconsin when Jordan Taylor, for some reason, turned in Super Saiyan. But, you know, that happens. Sully, you can go ahead and start that off with the court storming.
Thoughts. Man, why me? But, I mean, court storming is cool. I don't really mind it. Just don't get disrespectful. At Wisconsin, they beat us. We was number one. I think we was 20 and something, you know. I don't know what we started the season off as, but it was our first loss, Wisconsin Storms. As we're trying to get off the court, I get spitted on. Long story. You can go back. I'm pretty sure Adam wrote about it. But
ooh, imagine if social media was like it was now. Oh, they definitely
would. I know. Oh, it would have been bad. But, I mean, the court storming, I don't mind it, man. I think it's part of the game. You know, some people, especially those lower seed teams, they never beat a top team before. So for them to have that moment and to share that moment with their fans, I don't mind it. But we have to start being more mindful as far as, like, referees and the people around it. They know you see the kids ready to storm. You know, I don't care if you cut the game off at 0.4 seconds to get the other team out, but let's get the other team out.
They've done that before, though. They've literally done that before.
And let God, and you see it. You see the students and fans ready to storm the court. So let's try to be proactive and try to get those guys off the court before anything can happen like that. So it's an unfortunate event. Caitlin Clark was a great flop, to be honest with you. I've seen the video. It was a hell of a flop. I mean, she would have got 3 free throws off that off rip, but
she got the call. She got the call.
She'd have got the call, but all fairness, man, it's just, you know, it's something. It's fun. It's a college experience. That's when we talk about having a college experience. Yeah. That's part of it. That's part of it. And I don't want to take that away.
Yeah, I concur. I think you I think it would be foolish to try to outlaw it. I think it's part of what makes college basketball awesome. I will say there are probably times where it's a little overutilized, but I don't know how you police that. I do think there's a way to keep it as safe as possible for the players, whether that's keeping them off the floor for X amount of time, you know, after the game, let them shake hands first. I think there's ways to do that. But again, that changes things because I know I love the security and the red coat staff at Ohio State, but not one of those people is capable of stopping anyone from getting onto the floor because they are older, retired individuals that are awesome, but just not, it's not
JR.
JR is still there. Saw him this weekend.
Oh my God.
But love that, you know, so if you're going to try to do that, you got to figure out a way to police it a little better. But I don't, getting rid of it completely makes no sense to me. I think people that are against it are just a little salty and probably have had it happen to them a little too many times, but don't lose the game. That's how I think. So
it's hard. Cause I don't know, like you said, Kraft, like realistically, what are even 30 well, like built ushers actually going to be able to do if 10,000, 5,000 people are trying to get to the court, like you can't, it becomes an issue. Like they have to just keep them from hurting themselves rather than trying to prevent them from getting on the court, which is, you know, that it's just, it is a tough deal all around. I don't know what it's like to be on the court and have a couple thousand people rushing at me. Like that's the thing I was thinking about. Like, I know it's easy to hate on Duke and it's easy to hate when Kyle Filipowski says he gets hurt and like, oh, you watch the replay and stuff. But like, I don't know if I'm standing there and there's people just like running at me, like screaming, I don't know how I would react in that moment. And I do wonder, like, from the safety standpoint, what can be done about that specific, you know, situation. But like, I don't know. I guess it's easy for all of us who aren't on the court to say, oh, they should do this or they should do that. But like, I don't know what goes through your guys' mind when you're on the court and here come 1,000 people charging at you.
So me, I have two opinions in this matter. There are ways that they can police it. Everybody, Ohio State beats the team up north in football. What used to happen? They used to go for the goalposts, right? Put those 30 security around the bench of the opposing team, and everybody else is have your fun. Do what you do. Enjoy yourself. Like you said, you can police it and know, all right, they're going to storm. We're going to get our guys to the side as quick as possible, and ushers or whoever else, one to a player. It's only 5 guys on the court. One to a player. Escort them to their section, and they walk off peacefully. That's possible. I think that's something that they can do. But you can't take away the storm and the court experience. It's been a part of college, you know, forever. And for me, I look at it as a standpoint of, you know, my last college game, I turn around. My dad's right next to me. You know, we win the Big Ten championship. My grandma's right there with me. You know, I'm holding a trophy, and my mom is right here, you know, holding and taking pictures with me. This is something that, you know, I have hanging up at my house right now. You know, those are moments that I, you know, probably wouldn't have. So just to have that, you know, family, you know, atmosphere along with the fans, because, you know, we play for them. We play for Buckeye Nation. So for them to enjoy it with us, you know, and, you know, have all that love and have all that, you know, hard work that from 5 a.m. in the weight room, in the sand pit, running the stadium stairs, you know, all that is, you know, celebrated in that moment, you know, I would say in certain situations. So it's definitely not something that they need to take out, but it's something that they can control in some different ways for sure. So we shall see what happens in the future, though.
Doubt it.
And also,
keep storming the court,
last point
people.
Before we get up out of here, we're going to get our – we talk about storming the court. 2005, Buckeyes, great ATO by my guy, Coach Mata. Great shot by my guy, Matt Sill.
Great illegal screen
by my guy, Terrence Dials. By my guy, Terrence Dials.
Get him
shout
open.
Out. Basically, this was their Big Ten championship. The 2005 Buckeyes beating the number one ranked Illini with Darren Williams, Luther Head, and
D. Brown.
D. Brown. Yes, James number one Augustine. Team in the country. beating those guys and storming that court. Come on, man. You think that those guys don't remember that? Ron Lewis, shout out to that suit he had on too. Like, come on,
that,
man.
Hey, that was a CBS special
that you can't forget at all. So Gus Johnson was in. Come on, Gus was making the call. Like, this is classic stuff right here. Yeah. You can never take out storming the court. I'm sorry.
Matter of fact, that's how it goes, man.
But appreciate y'all, man.
Hold on, Lighty. But what's funny is people don't know this is the associate head coach at Kent State right now. My brother, he rushed the court to go meet my older brother or oldest brother, JJ. So Julian rushed the court.
Oh, Jules ran on the court too?
Yeah. So look, Jay didn't know that Jules was coming to the game, right? Because we just picked up Jules from Fork Union Military Academy. So as Jay was, I was sitting on the sideline. So as Jules, I was scared to run on the court. I ain't gonna lie, I was young, so I was scared. I ain't want to get in trouble by my dad. So Jules runs the court, grabs Jay, and Jay just turns around thinking somebody grabbed him. He just stopped and was like, "What the hell you doing here?" And they just celebrated together, bro. Like it's something like those little moments that we talk about, storm court, like rushing the court, man. Though you can't replace those memories, man. You just can't.
No, for sure. Nah, that's perfect. That's definitely perfect. But hopefully we get our moments in the future. You know, it's over for this season in the Buckeyes, but we're going to still show our love, show our support. We're going to see what happens in this next episode. Remember, I said at least the semifinals we get into. So, like I said before, make sure y'all give us questions, add us, Big Ten Beyond or Beyond the Big Ten, and Carmen's crew, all that good stuff, and show y'all love, man. Shout out Buckeyes 08 all day.